Working our way through the book of Nehemiah, and we noticed that they, you know, came together, a bunch of people decided to let's work on God's house and build the house of God, and coming back and getting the altar and getting the temple and building the walls and just overcoming adversity. And when it was all done, we saw in that eighth chapter, they got together and they read the word of God publicly for 3 to 6 hours a day. The word of God, people were worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground, and they were reading in the book distinctly and giving the sense and causing them to understand the reading. And we saw that with all of that, what it led to in the ninth chapter was a lot of prayer and a lot of praise and a lot of confession of sin. That's what the word of God will do to you. It will get you to pray and confess and to praise and worship. And then we saw in the ninth and the tenth chapter, and it drove them in their hearts to make a covenant and to get back to covenanting within themselves to continue the service of God. And really, that's what happens. I mean, God's made a covenant with us. He's made that everlasting covenant, that unilateral covenant. But it would be nice if we would make a decision to covenant, to labor, be co-laborers with God, be obedient to children of God, and be in the service and the work of God. And we saw that when it was all done, the numbers were not that big. And of the 42,000 people that came back, it was maybe, what, about 1,000 or 2,000 that decided they would serve. And again, it's always a remnant. It's always a remnant. But that remnant began to stir others up. And in the 11th chapter, what we're going to see is they're going to get the rulers of the people, and they're going to begin to put the call out there, and they're going to say, you know what's necessary? Look at verse 1. The rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the holy city. Jerusalem is the place where God is. It's the hub of the work of God. God himself is there. I mean, God is faithful to show up to his temple. God is faithful to show up to his house. That's where he is, and we need some people to show up with him. And here, there are some people that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. It's going to be a responsibility, and it's going to be labor, and it's going to be work to be in Jerusalem. It'd be much easier to be in one of the outlying cities or towns. Over there, you've got your farm. You've got what you need to take care of. You recognize, and God accepts the fact that you're far away, 30, 40, 50 miles. He does not expect you to travel on the Sabbath day to the holy city. He expects you to come maybe 3 feasts of year, but there are other times where you do not have to come. But the people in the city are the ones that have to do all the labor on behalf of the Lord. So when people do come, things are ready. They set up. They minister during the services. They clean up after the services. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of labor. And thankfully, there were some people that willingly offered themselves to do it. Now, you read between the lines here, there wasn't enough of the willing offer. When the people willingly offered, it still didn't make 1 out of 10. It was a little short. So they actually had to have a draft and a lottery to get the rest of the people so that they could fill that up, so 1/10 of the people were at Jerusalem. And they managed to do it. And they pulled it together. And the chapter kind of reads a listing of who these people are and their names and the heads of the tribes that came to be in Jerusalem to do the work. And the first 24 verses of the chapter are basically going to look at what the population is at Jerusalem. And it's only 1 out of 10. The next 12 verses are going to look at the other places that are not Jerusalem and who's inhabiting those townships. And I think it's interesting in just the way God proportionately sets up the chapter. 2/3 of the chapter is written about the 10% at Jerusalem. And 1/3 of the chapter is written about the other 90% that aren't at Jerusalem. Just a curious observation. We can read the whole chapter. We will read the whole chapter. But that's a striking observation. You know, the books are being written in heaven. There are 3 that bear record in heaven. And they do record the things that God's children do. They keep a record of it, just like when teachers keep a record of how children behave in a classroom, who shows up for attendance, who doesn't show up, when they show up, where they sit, how they behave when they're sitting, whether they're actively involved in the lesson or they're indifferent and looking out the window. All those things go into the grading of a child, and they have extra categories beyond just what they got on a test. And all these things are being recorded and written down. And here the Lord says, let me give you an idea in my writing. I'm going to give 2/3 of a chapter to 10% and 1/3 a chapter to the 90%. A portrait? Remind you of Luke 17? 10 lepers are cleansed. 9 run away and do what they want. Oh, they're all cleansed. They're all cleansed. God doesn't have much to write about them. They haven't done much that's noteworthy that can be recorded one day when the books are open in heaven about what they did. But that 10, that 1/10, that 10% that came back and bowed at the feet of Jesus, and he said, thy faith hath made thee whole, and being wholly sanctified and wholly given to dwelling in God's holy place, there's much written about him one day. Curious how the chapter's written. Anyways, we go on, we read it. Verse 3. Now, these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah dwelt every one in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin. Some Judeans dwelt at Jerusalem, some didn't. Some Benjamites dwelt there, some didn't. They had a good, goodly heritage. They have the heritage of a Judean is a great heritage, and yet some of them chose not to stay there in the holy city. And to be of Benjamin, later on the Apostle Paul would talk about how he was so blessed to be of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two tribes that stayed together in the southern kingdom, one of the two tribes that kept over the holy city, but only some of them dwelt there, and God's just noting it for you. Verse 4, at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah, and implied certain of the children of Benjamin. Of the children of Judah, who were the ones? Well, there was Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalaleel, of the children of Peraz. Mahalaleel is a beautiful word. It's like hallelujah, hallelujah. It means to praise God. These are men that praise God. Those are the kind you want in Jerusalem. They were the children of Perez. Perez means like a breach. And I think the breach was between, they had separated between them and the other people. And there was a breach between them and the others because they were at Jerusalem. 5, and Maaseiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kolhoza, the son of Haaziah, the son of Edaiah, the son of Joiarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shilonai, and all the sons of Perez that dwelt at Jerusalem were 468. That's 468. And these are the sons of Benjamin. There was Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Pedaiah, the son of Kolaiah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Jeseiah. After him, Gabai, Salai, 928. So those are the Benjamites. And Joel, the son of Zichri, was the overseer, and Judah, the son of Sanua, was the second over the city. And of the priests, there's Jedaiah, the son of Jehoiarib, and Jachin, and Seraiah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraioth, the son of Ahitub, was the ruler of the house of God, and their brethren that did the work of the house were 822. And Edaiah, the son of Jeroham, and Pelaliah, the son of Amzai, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and his brethren, chief of the fathers, 242. And Mishai, the son of Azariel, the son of Azai, the son of Meshelemoth, the son of Immer, and their brethren, mighty men of valor, 128. And their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of one of the great men. So he's been listing for us the different groups. There are important groups like Judah, and he listed Judah, the sons of Perez, of 468. He listed the group of Benjamin, And he listed 928 in verse 8. And now we just got to verse 12. And the brethren, the priests, verse 12 and 13 and 14, three groups of priests, there were almost 1,200 priests. And now he goes on in the next verses of 15, also of the Levites. Now he's going to look at the Levites and finally sum them up in verse 18. There was Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Hashabiah, son of Bunai, and Shabbatai, and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites. They had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer. And Bakbukai, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shemua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, all the Levites in the holy city were 284. That would be 284 Levites. Verse 19, moreover, the porters, Akub, Talmon, and their brethren that kept the gates were 172. So we've got about 456 Levites and porters also doing the work. Verse 20, and the residue of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, every one in his inheritance. And so these other priests, although they weren't in Jerusalem itself, they were surrounding the area of Judah, just like in Luke chapter 1, when the father of John the Baptist was in the temple. And when he was all done, he went back with his wife into a surrounding region of Judah. So the priests kept close to the holy city of Jerusalem, living in Judah. Verse 21, but the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, and Ziah and Gispa were over the Nethinims. And the Ophel was just outside the border of Judah. And the Nethinims were proselytes of other lands that had come to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they wanted to be close to where the action was. And they had come into the covenant of God. Verse 22, the overseer also of the Levites was at Jerusalem, and he was Uzai, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah. Of the sons of Asaph, the singers were over the business of the house of God, for it was the king's commandment concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers due for every day. And of course, also important in the worship of God is song. We're supposed to sing and make not just a melody in our heart, but to sing out loud to the Lord. It's so important part of the worship service. And those singers, although they weren't technically priests or Levites, but they were people that wanted to be part of the work, they were brought in as singers, and they were cared for so they could lift up their voice and play their instruments unto the Lord. Verse 24, and Pethahiah, the son of Meshezabeel, of the children of Zerah, the son of Judah, was at the king's hand in all matters concerning the people. And it was seen that this particular man was actually a governmental official, like Nehemiah, but the church and the state were married. And the state understood the importance of having good worship and having good church and good temple service. And that's the way God wanted it to be, a theocracy where they were put together. Right now, under the hands of the Gentiles, God wants it separate. He can't trust Gentile government mingled with his church. But here in the nation of Israel, Judean government, Jewish government, should be married to the temple. And that's what he had here, and this man had his job. Now, that's the first 24 verses, all focusing on the city of Jerusalem. The rest of the chapter, verses 24 through 36, we're looking at the other people. No, actually, 25 through 36. We're looking at the villages. Verse 25, and their fields, some of the children of Judah dwelt at Kirjath Arba, and in the villages thereof, and at Dibon, and in the villages thereof, and at Jekabziel, and at the villages thereof, and at Jeshua, and at Molada, and at Beth-Phelet, and at Hazar-Shual, and at Beersheba, and in the villages thereof. And it's naming all these surrounding villages where other people are living that are Jewish people. They want to be part of the service on the big events, but not exactly on a daily basis. They want to come when there's a feast, but they don't exactly want to come and set up and minister and clean up, but they want to be a part of it. And that's good, I would say. Let's see, verse 28. You got at Ziklag and Mekona and the villages thereof, and at Enrimmon and Zariah and Jarmuth and Zanoah, Adullam, and in their villages, and at Lachish and in the fields thereof, and at Azekah and the villages thereof. And they dwelt from Beersheba unto the valley of Hinnom, which is just outside of Jerusalem. The children also of Benjamin from Geba dwelt at Michmash and Aijah and Bethel, and in their villages, and at Anathoth and Nob and Ananiah and Hazor, Ramah, Gittayim, Hadad, Zeboim, Nebalat, Lod, and Ono, the valley of craftsmen. And of the Levites were divisions in Judah and in Benjamin. And that 11th chapter just kind of takes a look at how the population is spread out, and God gives great emphasis to that which is at Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting. Almost seems like, what do you put it there for? One, to show you God is keeping an eye on things. God is recording things. God is blessed by those that make a covenant with him and then adhere to that covenant, and he writes their name. Their names are being written down for posterity. The name of the wicked shall perish and rot, but the name of the just and the blessed, that's going to be recorded for all time because they've devoted their heart to God. But there's another thing. You know, I took a look at this, and I found it kind of curious that this 11th chapter would have these things going on in here. Now it's curious. This is not an accident. This is a hidden little gem within the Bible that the Lord showed me a while back. Nehemiah, by the way, if you were to count from the first book of your Bible, you know what book Nehemiah is? Well, let's see. We got the five books of Moses. Then we got Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. That takes me to 8. Then I got 1 and 2 Samuel. That takes me to 10. 1 and 2 Kings takes me to 12. 1 and 2 Chronicles takes me to 14. Yeah, this is the 16th book of the Bible. You know what chapter we're in? 11. This is a hidden 1611 in the Bible about the Jerusalem of our day, which is the King James Bible. It's interesting. I noticed as I was reading through it, the two key ministers there were the priests and the Levites. And their names were very carefully mentioned, and their numbers were totaled. And as I went through it, the priests begin in verse 10. And as the priests go through it, of the priests, Jediah, and verse 11, Seraiah, and 12, and of their brethren, and Pasher, and it goes through there, and you look, and the middle verse of those 10 through 12 is verse 11. And it's interesting, there's a phrase in here that's found in verse 11, the house of God. And then you go on later and you're reading about the Levites beginning in verse 15. And as it goes through these Levites in verse 15 and 16 and 17, and they're the ones that begin in prayer and thanksgiving, that middle verse there is 16, and it's found in there, the house of God. And that's 16:11. Has the house of God in it. In the 16th book, in the 11th chapter, the house of God. Verse 22, the overseer of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzzi, and of course the singers were over the business of the house of God. That's the third time the house of God is found, and that's in verse 22. Now we know the Hebrew Bible and alphabet is built around 22 letters, and Psalm 119 has 22 divisions to it. And so the house of God, if you were to read it in Jewish order, I mean the way we would read it as Gentiles, the house of God, that phrase is only found 6 times in the New Testament, and it's found 3 times in this chapter. And Paul tells us we need to know how to behave at the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And here we just found the house of God, and we found it in verse 11, verse 16, and verse 22. Now the Jews read in this direction. Verse 22, this is the letters found in the Hebrew Bible, the 22 divisions. And our 16:11 is a Hebraic book. It's a Jewish book. As a matter of fact, the Encyclopedia Britannica, the scholars writing, looking at the King James Bible, they said that book is more Jewish than any other English writing they found, because the King James Bible was taken from the Hebrew Masoretic text, and it's very Jewish in its orientation. And so there is that 1611. Another thing that's very interesting in here is the word Jerusalem. Now, I've showed you many times in English that the word Jerusalem, nine letters, and five of the letters spell the word James. And the letters left over is rule. And Jesus called Jerusalem the city of the great king. The great King James is the rule of faith in the house of God today. And that is found seven times in this chapter. It's found in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 22. And the King James Bible was purified seven times. It was 7 years it took to bring the King James Bible from 1604 to 1611. And here that word is found seven times in the chapter. Now, I expect it in 22, and it's in verse 22, Jerusalem. That makes sense. It's the Jewish city, the Hebrew city, the holy city of Israel. And, of course, there are 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. The other verses it's in is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. If you add that together, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 10 plus 6 is 16. And every one of those verses is found in chapter 11. 1611, 1611. This is one of the hidden 1611s in the Bible. You know, I went through and I counted a whole bunch of things in there. The number of the names that was mentioned, and there were 83 different names that were mentioned, which is the interesting. It's a 23rd prime number. And then I noticed the group names: Judah, Levites, Benjamin, Solomon, Nethinims. Those are mentioned 22 times. 22, of course, is the Hebrew number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And 22 goes to the 23rd prime number is 83. And then I notice the total number of everybody in this chapter is 3,044, which is, and that, look, this is not important. This is just little stuff I look at. It's seven times the 761, which is prime number 135. And if you add those two prime numbers together, you come up with 929. And the interesting thing about that is, the King James Bible is the second giving of God's word, which is nine is the number of fruit. Jerusalem has nine in it, letters. King James has nine letters, and the second giving, and it is also 1611, which adds up to nine. By the way, we call it the Holy Bible. Which also adds up to nine. So I just thought there were some interesting things hidden in there. Throughout the scriptures, I asked God, show me the hidden 1611s in the Bible. So I'll show you a few others that I found. This is a little gem right here in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the whole book, stands on the foundation of the reading of God's word. The building of the temple was according to God's word. The regathering of the people was according to God's word. The covenant they made was according to God's word. Everything they did was built upon God's word. And today we have God's word in English. It's the 1611. And I'll give you some other portraits of it where the 1611 is hidden in the scriptures. We look at the word. One of the great types of the word in the Bible is manna. Do you know where the manna was given? Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. They began the giving of manna not in verse 1, not in verse 2, not in verse 3, but in verse 4. Because it was in 1604, God commissioned that Bible. And the manna was begun to give. On verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That's Exodus 16, verse 4. That's what your Bible's for. That's the bread from heaven. God wants to know, do you gather a little bit every day? And based on your gathering, he knows whether you walk in his law or not. And so that's when it's given. But watch an interesting thing. Do you know the manna was rejected by the people? Do you know where it was rejected? In the book of Numbers. Do you know what chapter they rejected it in? 11. Numbers chapter 11. Let me just see. There's a place where they actually said, the verse 1, and the people complained, and it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept again. Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all before beside this manna before our eyes. And the people loathed the manna. They wanted nothing to do with God's manna anymore. And so the word, with a little W, it's given in the 16th chapter. It's refused in the 11th chapter. You know, this is Exodus 16. Refused in Numbers 16. 16 is the number of love in the Bible. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, Timothy 3:16, all the 16s in the Bible that are expression of God's love toward you, and 11 is a picture of rebellion. And God's 16:11 book is a book that tells of the love of God, and then it tells you of the rebellion and the judgment that follows rebellion. And so it's a double-edged sword. It's beautifully balanced. It's not just about the love and the grace of God. It tells the truth that, yes, he has a right hand of love and grace, but he also has a left hand of judgment when people rebel against it. That's a picture of the word. You want to know a type of the word of God? We're looking at types here. We saw a type of the word was the manna. Now you want to see a type of the word of God? You got to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, who is the word of God? Jesus. But who's one of the great types of him in the Old Testament? David. David was a prophet. David was a priest. David was a king. David was a man after God's heart. David was a mighty man of valor that would go in and out among the people. He was a shepherd. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel is where David is anointed by the Lord. And Samuel comes and the Lord tells him that I don't look like other men see on the outward appearance. I look at the heart. And that's when Samuel was told, this is the man I have chosen. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, in verse 12. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And we see the anointing of David. But if you go to the next book, 2 Samuel, we see a stumbling of David. We see him anointed in the 16th chapter, but we see him fall into sin. And what chapter is it? 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, when the time of the kings to go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants, and David tarried at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the eventide that he arose and he saw a woman washing herself. And he looked on them. We see that. And so we see here in 1 Samuel and then in 2 Samuel, we see the 1611. And I'll show you another thing. We talk about saints. And particularly, we look at the heroes of the faith. The heroes of the faith. And when we think about the heroes of the faith, the great disciples, of course, we know one chapter right off our top of our head. What's the great roll call of faith? Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, you read about all these people that were faithful. In that particular chapter, it tells us faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it talks about Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and he did it by faith. And Enoch was translated by faith. And Noah was warned of God, and by faith he moved with fear and obeyed. And we read about Abraham's faith, and we read about all these men of faith in the 11th chapter. But now as I went through that chapter, you know what I noticed? They were all Old Testament saints. All these heroes were Old Testament saints. Where's the roll call of New Testament saints? Romans chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Receive her. Greet Priscilla. Greet Aquila, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Greet the church in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epineus, who is of the first fruits of Achaia. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute, and he names a whole bunch of people in the first 16 verses. And so in the roll call of saints, we see it in Romans 16, and we see it in Hebrews 11. And all through the scriptures, there are these hidden 1611s, pictures of the Bible, pictures of the Lord, pictures of the heroes and the saints. And here we have another in the 16th book in the 11th chapter. The only chapter where Jerusalem is mentioned 7 times and the house of God is mentioned 3 times. And the numbers kind of line up, and it's a portrait. And so God is writing these things down. And you know what he wants, going back to where we were in Nehemiah? Verse 2, the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. You know who some of the greatest people to the Christians today are? Those that willingly dwell in the holy word of God. It's a great blessing to the people. It's a blessing of encouragement to watch them as they do exploits for their Lord. It's an encouragement to watch them in their prayer life, and to watch them in the way they meditate, and to watch them in the way they attend services, and watch them in the way they behave at the services, and they co-labor with God and going out, and the way they sow the seed, and the way they bring in new disciples into the Lord. This is a great blessing to the people. I know for me personally, when I'm able to meet someone that's willingly offered himself to dwell in the Holy Bible at Jerusalem, it's a great blessing to me. I like to listen to them. I like to spend time with them. I like to fellowship with them. I like to co-labor with them. I like to be with them. That's where the blessing is. And I'm afraid that God still has to have a draft nowadays where he drafts some people into service. But it's a blessing when a few people enter into service willingly, like these people did here in the 10th chapter, where they sealed themselves with a covenant. And they made a covenant with their God. Now look, I know, you know, we're imperfect. I know we're going to make a covenant, and sometimes we're going to draw back, and we're going to be frightened, and sometimes we're going to stumble along the way. But if we remember that covenant, and we go back and we meditate on our bed, and we think about the things and the promises and that God's made to us, and the things he's done for us, and the things that are written in here, we can finish our course. We can continue the covenant. And that's what we see. And this is, to me, this is a very encouraging chapter, as the Lord showed to me that these folks that were willing to come to the holy city is a portrait of those that come to the Bible, and it's the 16th book in the 11th chapter, and I was blessed. I'm always blessed when I find little hidden 16:11s in the Scripture. So it's a short lesson tonight, but it's a good one. It's an encouraging one. It's a deep one to see. One that almost seems like, what did you put it there for, Lord? It could have finished up with the last chapter. By the way, by putting it in there, you end up with 13 chapters. He could have eliminated that and just had chapters 12 and 13, but he wanted to show us that hidden 16:11. And it is hidden. It's hidden today to the eyes of most saints. Hopefully not to you. Amen. All right, Lord, thank you. Thank you for a little Bible study tonight. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for confirming to us that this is thy word. It is thy book. It was given by thy prophets that Jesus has sent to us. And Lord, just help us to willingly dwell in the Holy Bible, which is like Jerusalem. It's the word of a king wherein there's power. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I guess Sunday night there was a, you can turn that off. Sunday night there was.